Totally Hockey at the IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship, Day 9.
Has it really been 9 days?
It has, and that's the sound of Olga Himalev, who joins us here on Day 9. Extraordinarily enough, it's been 9.
I cannot believe it.
Well, you've been so busy, Olga, and we'll get into that in a second, but alongside Olga is Alex Appleyard joining us again.
It's great to be back.
Delighted to have you, hockey writer for The Athletic and others. If you've been following IIHF on social, you'll have seen Olga's work on buses, around arenas, talking to sweaty hockey players. What's been the most fun thing you've done so far, Olga?
I have to say, it's got to be the Great Britain fans. You know, every year we have the same teams come through, and then Great Britain has definitely been a surprise. When we went on that bus, they were on their way to a game with Canada, and the excitement, they were so down to earth and just exciting to be around that it was like infectious. I didn't want to leave. They were amazing. Right. And then the fans, when I met them in the arena, they were even greater.
You didn't go on the bus coming back from the Canada game, I guess.
No. Okay. I stayed off that one.
Right. Okay. Well, much to discuss today. We've had all sorts of things. We've had Italy scoring a goal. We've had Mantha scoring the goal. And we've had certainly the best game that we've seen so far this championship here in Bratislava between Sweden and Switzerland. Before we go any further, let's get a quick check on the Day 9 scores. In Košice, USA caned the Danes 7-1. Jack Hughes getting his first point. Canada power played past Germany 8-1. Once again, Anthony Mantha was the answer.
Mantha works in, book between the legs, starts. What a goal by Anthony Mantha!
And Slovakia beat Great Britain 7-1. In Bratislava, it happened. Italy scored a goal. Of course, Norway ended up winning the game 7-1, but still. Russia's Red Machine continued to clean up like a scarlet Zamboni, downing Latvia 3-1. And last year's finalists, Sweden and Switzerland, met in another thriller, 4-3, Oliver Ekman-Larsson having the last laughing. Remember, you can check out highlights and more on the fabulous IIHF app, and goals as they go in are available on our social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, game of the day in Slovakia, and certainly game of the week in Bratislava, was Saturday night Sweden-Switzerland clash, a repeat of last year's final. Once again, it was the Swedes who won it, but only just. 4-3 the final score. After the game, we caught up with King Henrik himself and scorer of the winning goal, Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
That was an amazing game to watch. What was it like to play in?
A lot of fun. It was sweaty out there, but the crowd was unbelievable. It was a pretty fast game too, and that's the kind of games that you want to be in, and so it was a lot of fun tonight.
Talk us through your winning goal.
Some room down that right side for Nylander. He finds Ekman-Larsson, scores! Oliver Ekman-Larsson, 4-3 Sweden.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of time there. Nylander made a good pass. I wasn't sure if he saw me behind his back there, but he made a good pass, and I got a lot of time to think, almost too much, but it was nice to get a goal. We're having a lot of fun, great group of guys, so just got to keep it going.
It was pretty intense. You know, we played a few games now where we've been dominating the play a lot. Today we're playing a team that's very structured, fast, and it was back and forth. We took a lot of penalties, so it allowed them to get the momentum a little bit too much, I think, but our penalty kill was really good. It was a fun game to play, but intense.
It was a proper test of a Sweden team that seems to be growing.
Yeah, I agree. But it's hard to know where you stand when you've been scoring 8-9 goals. No offense to the teams we've been playing. They've been doing a great job, but this was definitely a good test for us, I think. Some areas we need to improve a little bit. You can see when you lose the puck against a better team, things happen a lot quicker. They make you pay a lot faster. But it was a good, you know, battle win for us. We had to battle throughout the game because of all the penalties and find a way to win.
4-3 then, Alex. Another narrow defeat for the Swiss, but either team could have won this.
I think it was one of those games that really just had everything. It was a physical matchup. It was also a matchup with a lot of skill. And I think for me, one of the most interesting aspects of the game was the tactical matchup as well. You had two teams playing extremely different brands of hockey, but both were exciting. You have Switzerland, who are looking to counter constantly, contain the Swedes when they're in the offensive zone, and the Swedes, who are looking to constantly apply pressure, establish a cycle in the offensive zone, and get it back to their extremely talented defensemen who are jumping into the play.
We saw some stunning goals. Haas's goal was fantastic. It did seem, though, that every time Switzerland thought they'd pulled their way back into it, Sweden just stamped their foot back down.
Yeah, once they get in the offensive zone and get on the cycle and allow those fantastic defensemen to jump up into the play, they're just an extremely dangerous team and almost impossible to contain. The Swiss and Patrick Fischer with his coaching did a very good job of doing that tactically, but ultimately the talent just shone through. Four lines who can create moments of magic and just a fantastic group of defence who can create goals from nothing.
Well, Lundqvist afterwards saying that this was the first time they felt they'd really been tested, the Swedes. And you can see either of these teams going deep into this tournament, Olga.
Completely. I mean, the fact that you had both these teams in the final last year, that speaks a world in itself. I spoke with Switzerland's assistant coach, Christian Wulzen, and he told me, because I asked him, I said, you know what, Patrick Fischer likes defense first. And he said, yeah, that's right. But at the same time, they also need their special teams and everybody to step in. And they did today. And it was almost a bummer to see that they lost two nail biters to this team two times in a row. But you know what, Sweden, to me, probably the better team at this point, we'll say. So they deserve to come out on top.
Better at this point. And they seem to be getting better with every game as well. Amazing atmosphere too in the stadium tonight. We've seen huge support for pretty much every team that's played here. But this clash in particular really set the kind of decibel meter ringing.
Swiss fans are second to none. They're unbelievable. The commitment, and they're diehard fans. They really are.
If you had to pick out one moment from this game, Alex, what would it be?
I think really William Nylander's pass across to Oliver Ekman-Larsson to win the game. It was an absolutely beautiful pass from right across the ice, right onto his tape. And Ekman-Larsson just made no mistake in absolutely roofing it from some distance out as well.
How many assists did Nylander end up with today?
He ended up with two assists and one goal.
And if you followed his career like this past year, he has not been playing well. So it's amazing that he's come together the past few games and like he's hit it out of the park.
I think going into this season, he had a contract dispute with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They couldn't decide on his restricted free agency status. He ended up missing almost half the season and only just got back in time to avoid missing the whole season, actually, because it's a specific cutoff day. But this tournament so far, he's just been fantastic, and also fantastic in all three zones as well, which is something sometimes Toronto Maple Leafs fans have criticized him for, not working hard enough in the defensive zone and kind of being an offense-first player and not looking out for defense. Whereas today we saw him turn the puck over from the Swiss opposition on two occasions in key moments. And in every single zone, all tournament long, he's been playing excellent hockey.
And what's scary is that he's getting better and better every game. So for every other team that's playing, watch out, because William Nylander is one to look out for.
What about from the Swiss? Fiala certainly felt he had a point to prove, but Roman Josi was his usual ebullient self.
Roman Josi is one of the best defensemen in the NHL and has been for a few years now. The Nashville Predators rely on him so heavily, and the Swiss national team obviously he's really, quite frankly, heads and shoulders above all their other defensemen. Weber's another good defenseman who plays on the Nashville Predators with him, but Josi today, we saw it on the game-tying goal, jumping into the rush and laying a beautiful pass.
Where does this leave everybody in the standing? To me, it looks like they're both fine. They're both going to be going through to the quarterfinals. It's not yet mathematically certain, or is it? Because there's now a mighty 6-point chasm between the Czechs in fourth place and Latvia down in fifth.
The odds are that the top four right now is the top four who will go through to the quarterfinals. I really can't see, say, Latvia coming back and getting into that group now. Those four teams are kind of just a cut above the rest in this group.
Did you have a moment that really stood out for you, Olga?
For me, I think, you know what, it wasn't just one moment. It was just the fact that Switzerland was so resilient. Sweden, obviously, would always come back. So Switzerland was up, and then Sweden scored, tied it up, and so Switzerland could have hung their head. But they never did, because they have this newly found confidence, I feel like, the past maybe year or two, that I've never seen before. And it's infectious. I see it from the bottom up on the team, from the coaching staff to the equipment managers to the players. They all really believe in themselves, and they think that they belong with the so-called best hockey nations in the world. And quite honestly, they made it to the finals last year, and they're sticking around. They're not just, it wasn't like a fluke final. So they could be right. They could be right up there now.
A lot of people, I think, doubted that they'd be able to repeat anything like the success of last year, and had regarded their early wins in this tournament as being the fruit of easier fixtures. But this game was a test that even though they didn't win, in many ways they passed.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Switzerland is when you look at their roster and you compare it to the top six teams, I mean, on paper this year, at best, their team is probably the sixth best team, but they just constantly play better than the sum of the parts. They're well-drilled and just produce moments of magic.
And their mistakes, they limit their mistakes, whereas other teams, the top teams, sometimes, you know, they have bad periods and good periods, bad moments and good moments, but Switzerland really is so consistently just even keel, and they know exactly how to play, when to play, and they don't have those lopsided mistakes that other teams do.
All right. Well, that victory for Sweden means that they, the Swiss and the Czech Republic, each have 12 points, 3 points behind Russia, who we'll talk about in a second or two, and a full six ahead of the team in fifth place, Latvia. Also in Group B on this Saturday, Italy took on Norway. Italy, who'd had more nils than a Scandinavian phone directory coming into this game, and the Slovakian fans in the arena cheering them on as everybody willed them towards scoring a first goal of the tournament. Would they score? They would. Here's that moment.
Shot, score!
That made it 2-1. Of course, Norway immediately went down the other end and made it 3, and then they ended up winning 7-1. But that's not really the point, or is it?
I think it was a really fantastic moment to watch. Angelo Micheli right in front of the goal and just finishes it off and went and slammed himself into the boards as if he'd won the World Championships.
Yeah, and the Slovakians who'd assembled loved it as well. The Norwegians were pretty happy, I think, with their afternoon's work. Also, 7-1. That's two straight wins for them now. They're not going to make it into the quarterfinals, but any lingering doubts that they might not stick around at the top level, I think, are gone. They finish off with Latvia. For Italy, it's now all about the Austria game on Monday. Speaking of Latvia, they played today, Olga, yes, in the early game.
And they brought it. They came out firing today. If it wasn't for that one penalty, and unfortunately, you never want to talk about penalties, they would have won that first period, which is surprising because I thought that Latvia was so dominant in the first period. But when I spoke with Kuznetsov from Russia after the game, he said he felt that they won that period. And he said, you know what? No, we kept believing in ourselves and playing our game. And that confidence of that our game would prevail, he said, ended up, you know, helping them out. And which to me, it didn't seem that way because I thought that it was so lopsided in Latvia's favor.
In the first period?
Correct.
They actually finished that first period ahead, and it could have been much worse.
It could have been.
Were it not for the man in goal.
Agreed. And that's why he's one of the best.
Then they plugged in the Russian machine.
They did. And you know what? They dominated. It's funny. I spoke with Kovalchuk before the game, and he said that the team just really believes in themselves, that they play as a team, and they all really, they work well together. And then Kuznetsov said everybody actually really gets along, and he says that's a huge, huge, huge thing for a Russian team with so many individual superstars.
Do they have problems with that?
No.
I mean, not this time, but
not
in the past?
It has been a problem, and whether they want to admit it or not, you know, you can tell. But Kovalchuk, I asked him, as captain, what's your recipe of success captaining a team with so many talented players that are individually skilled players? And he says everybody just has to be themselves and play their own game, but they all just need to work hard. And he says he's been seeing that from everybody.
Okay. We don't hear much from the Russians because they do a lot of their work in Russian. What are they like? What have they been saying throughout this tournament so far?
Kovalchuk told me today, he said that the one thing that they need to improve on is their special teams, which is their power play and their penalty kill. But he says that they're in it to win it. And when I talk to the coaching staff outside of like regular interviews and stuff, they believe in them too. So
okay, this was a cagier, slightly less extravagant performance mm-hmm. from the Russians, but a tougher opponent.
It was a tougher opponent, and Latvia always battles hard, and they don't give in. I think also there's almost a chip on Latvia's shoulder playing Russia, just based off even you look at like
history,
countries, history. Yeah, history, we can say history.
Right.
So quite honestly, I thought it was an entertaining game to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we have a quick word about Alexander Ovechkin?
Yes. Oh, poor guy got caught up today. Mm. I saw him after the game and his lip was swollen. But again, nothing that Latvia did. It was just a bad accident. So a stick broke in half and he just got the bad end of it.
What do you make of his tournament so far?
You know what? So far, he's trying. He's one of those players where you can see a star come into a tournament and they pretty much expect to do well, whereas he doesn't expect it. He works hard. He is the red machine. If I were to ever tell somebody that, you know, there's a player that actually exemplifies the red machine, this guy would be it for me because he cares so much about his country, about his team, about his teammates. He wants to win and he wants to produce. He wants to be not the star. He wants to be the guy that helps out his team in the long run. And I think there's a lot more that we're going to see from him. But I think it's also gelling with his teammates currently.
Okay. Yeah, he just seems to be a little bit off his game. The number of times that he looks to make a pass, he looks to take a shot and sometimes misses the puck completely.
Yes, and I feel like it's just reading your team. There's a belief that he has with the Capitals, playing with them for so many years and with his line mates and stuff, that he will get it here. I'm absolutely positive.
Good news. Look forward to seeing that. In a second, we'll move on to Group A.
My favorite group.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Meanwhile, in Group A, the big game was Canada-Germany.
What the heck happened?
Well, I was hoping you would explain to us, Olga, or maybe Alex can shed some light on this. You have the biggest hockey nation. I think that's fair, isn't it? Canada? Yeah? Okay.
I'll fight you on that. I'd say Russia, but...
One of the biggest hockey nations around against the German side that won its first four fixtures for the first time since the bad old days and had just taken Olympic silver last year, etc. And people were starting to wonder, could they be for real in this year's tournament? And the first period, although Canada finished it two goals up, Germany, they'd come to play. They looked like the match of the Canadians.
They did. They played really well. And I think even up until midway through the second period, Germany really looked like they were in the game. It was 3-1 to Canada, and then all of a sudden they just exploded. And I believe they scored five goals in 14-21 actual game time between the second and third period. And they just completely put on a clinic from that moment forward, resulting in obviously a beautiful Mantha goal, stick between the legs, into the top corner with a slight deflection.
For anyone who didn't see the Mantha goal, talk us through it.
Well, he went round a defenseman and then...
Before that, he robs the puck.
Yeah, but he turns the puck over, goes past the defenseman, and then as he gets tight in on the goalie, he realizes he really doesn't have a chance to shoot as a left-handed shot, so sticks the puck in between his legs, gets the puck and lifts it, a slight deflection, and goes straight into the top corner.
It was extraordinary. Is that now the goal of the tournament?
It's very difficult for me to say. I think the Capo Caco goal, going around the outside and then slotting it around the goalie the other day, is still, for me, maybe the most impressive goal of the tournament.
Okay, the second one, the one against, I think it's hard, was it Denmark?
Yeah.
Okay. So what, before any of that happened, the difference was, as usual, the power play. Olga, I know you don't like to talk about penalties, mm-hmm. but Canada do. They even scored when Germany had a power play, which seems unfair.
It's unbelievable what special teams can do, and it's very hard to understand unless you actually play the game. But after talking to Kuznetsov after the game today, he told me, he said, you know what? The team that's going to win is the one that makes the least amount of mistakes. And you look at it that way, there's two different types to play. You can be an aggressive player that makes a bunch of mistakes, but he's just so good that you overpower everybody, that every opponent that you play. But then at the other time, you have to play a game where you don't make mistakes, because then it's all of your other teammates and line mates that are trying to make up for your mistakes. And then you can't play the ultimate a game that your team is set out to play. So,
generally speaking, Russia's penalty killing is a thing of beauty.
Correct. I saw them today against Latvia, which you shouldn't have to see, but they were diving left and right. They were blocking shots. And it's crazy what one blocked shot can do to momentum of a game.
Canada looked distracted against France the other day. And I think that's, they themselves admitted that. They were relentless, as you point out. Mantha, with an absolutely wonderful goal. He then had another one about 40 seconds later, or something ridiculous. Mark Stone came up with a hat trick, and just generally, they looked like a team absolutely on their game. I know you're completely impartial, Olga, but which team at this point most worries you in terms of a Russian victory?
I would have to say Sweden.
Really? More than Canada?
Yes, more than Canada, just because Sweden always brings it against us. And there's something about... Sweden can miss their stars, but they will come out as a team and just win it all. And I think for some reason, Sweden possesses the biggest worry for me, in my eyes.
Plus, they won the last two. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The momentum's there, too. Again, yeah. We talk about momentum.
Earlier on Saturday, there was a similarly lopsided win for the United States over Denmark. 7-1. Denmark winning 3-0 in Jensen's, though. Denmark out of quarterfinal contention with that. USA now need, I believe, 2 points from Germany and Canada, which are tomorrow and Tuesday. Any thoughts on the USA, Alex?
The USA have really started to play well. And I think one of the things we really saw today as well was the Chicago connection between Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane. They combined on 3 points and just looked fantastic. They played on the power play together in Chicago and also spent some time together as line mates this year. Both undersized, fast, shifty, skilled players with great shots. And today they kind of put on a clinic against a Denmark team who try hard, but really don't have the talent to compete against those top teams. Although they did produce one moment of magic with Olsson, who plays in the Swedish second division, with a spinning shot from just outside the crease, put it in backhand, and that was a nice moment to see such a nice goal from Denmark.
Beautiful. Okay, the other game Saturday was Great Britain, who took on Slovakia, and Slovakia, who've had a slightly frustrating time of it in this tournament, had a whopping 7-1 win. And that means that they are only 2 points behind the Americans. So that's interesting. Great Britain, of course, heading to that crucial clash with the French on Monday. That's day 9, then. Now, before we check out Sunday's action, time for another of our Slovak throwbacks, as award-winning Canadian hockey writer Lucas Aykroyd fires up his gullwing Zamboni for a trip back through 2 decades at the World Championships. Today, we're off to 2008 and Canada.
This is really, in my mind, where the legend of Ilya Kovalchuk as a Russian hockey savior was born. Kovalchuk, of course, the 2018 Olympic MVP, when the Olympic athletes from Russia took gold in Korea. And he's going to be back again as the captain for the Russians, which is a very interesting choice, with Alexander Ovechkin available, for instance, a Stanley Cup winner in 2018. But Kovalchuk is beloved in Russia. And we're going to see what he has left this year at age 36. But when you go back to 2008, he did not have his greatest tournament ever. Really, in the quarterfinal against Switzerland, he ended up taking a penalty that left him suspended for the semifinals, and people thought that disaster might be looming for Russia. But then, in the gold medal game in Quebec City, he comes through with a big goal in regulation, and then we go to the overtime. Canada's Rick Nash puts the puck over the glass, and that's Russia's big chance. Kovalchuk, known for his amazing wrister, and he got loose on the power play and just winged one home, and that was it. Kovalchuk, forever a legend.
Ilya! Yes! Ilya Kovalchuk!
And it just shows you have to play your best hockey at the right time. Kovalchuk, I would say, was actually far more effective in 2009 when the Russians won gold again in Bern. But ever since then, the man can do no wrong. So, it was an iconic moment. And it was also the 100th anniversary of the IHF that year, the 400th anniversary of the founding of Quebec City. So when you pick your moments like that, much like Sidney Crosby did, scoring the golden goal in Vancouver 2 years later at the Olympics, that's when they make statues out of you.
Thanks, Lucas. Day 10 then, everybody, in which Germany try their luck with North Americans Part 2, United States. France take on Finland. Austria go after their first points against the Czech Republic. And Switzerland, fresh from that narrow defeat to Sweden, take on Russia. And we're joined, I'm delighted to say, by Simon Graf of TA Media. Simon, you've just come from the arena and that Swiss defeat. Absolutely terrific to watch if you're not Swiss.
Well, it was a terrific match, even if you're Swiss. Just the result wasn't exactly what they wished for, but I think it was a great high-tempo game. The Swedes were a little bit cooler than the Swiss in the end, but I think it was one of those games that showed that Switzerland can play with the big teams. So I think it was quite an entertaining game.
It certainly was. But watching that with a view to Sunday's clash with Russia, how concerned are you for Switzerland's prospects?
Well, it's I think it showed they can they really have good tempo. And I don't think they will be overwhelmed by the Russians in terms of speed. But they have to be more disciplined. They had a few turnovers that cost them dearly. I'm sure the Russians will put even a little bit more pressure on their defense. So it will be interesting to see how they deal with that.
I know you were confident about Switzerland's prospects, but were you impressed? Were you surprised at how well they cope with Sweden for the most part this evening?
Not really. I mean, I think they played on a par with them in the finals last year, and they have a similar team now. I think they were really, really motivated to give them a good fight or even beat them. Now they've lost 8 times against the Swedes in a big tournament. So their last win was the start of the tournament in 2013 in Stockholm when they surprised the Swedes. So since then, they've lost 8 times. So they were really, really pumped up for that game.
Did anyone stand out for you in particular from the Swiss side?
Well, it has to be Roman Josi. I mean, he must be a top 5 D-man in the world. He had that more than 27 minutes of ice time today. And in the end, he looked a little bit tired. But he had a great move on Ekman Larsson for the tying goal for 2-2. So, I mean, he must be great to be in his body and play hockey. I mean, it's must be so much fun, like being Roger Federer playing tennis or Rafa Nadal playing on the clay court in Paris.
So going into Sunday's clash then, what should Patrick Fisher do in terms of trying to defuse, or trying to shut Russia down?
Well, I think what they have to do is not stay back, but do what they've done so far, really play a high-tempo game and really make the Russians chase them rather than chasing the Russians. I think if they stand back too much, they will have and spend too much time in their own zone, they'll have lots of trouble.
There is this suggestion, Olga, that one missing element for Russia might be that mentality, that focus, that if things don't go their way, that they're all too busy trying to score goals or something like that. Do you buy into that idea?
Absolutely, because when Russia plays as a team, that's when they're at their best. But when you have so many stars and just these individually skilled, super, super talented players, it's very hard to come together as one. And so unless they almost put their egos aside and work together, then this is what's going to cost them this championship.
Very good. All right, Simon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
No, not at all. I'm sure we're going to have much more to discuss from the Swiss as this tournament progresses.
Well, I hope so.
Also here in Bratislava on Sunday, Austria will go looking for their first win, as I mentioned, against the Czech Republic. So let's turn our thoughts instead to Group A. Olga, your favourite group.
Yes.
And it's got some interesting games again tomorrow. What have they got there? Oh, they've got France-Finland. Finland against a France team that's running out of time. 12 years straight, they've been here in the top division, sometimes battling for the quarterfinals, sometimes battling just to survive. This year, very much one of the latter kind. They've been in every game. They've played with a lot of spirit. At times, they've even led, like against Denmark. They gave Canada a real scare. But with 2 games left, they're still without the win they need to guarantee their place in the top flight. Are they feeling frustrated? Let's ask Sebastian Lonen.
Yeah, it's been pretty tough. We were losing 3-0 and then come back and took only then 1 minute in the third period and they take back the 2 goals in front of us. And it's like every game we are in the game and every time we lose, so now we just need to find a way to win a game. We have 2 more games. We know Monday it's going to be a decisive game for sure. So yeah, just need to find a way to win now. It's been for 12 years, the France in Group A, so just one win and that's it. So we're just going to find one game. It means everything for a French player. We always look for the team France. We know that every year in May there is World Championship, so we battle every year to make the team because for us it's like, we play against players, we watch them on NHL or anything, so it means everything for the federation, for the country, for everybody. It's huge to stay in Group A.
France, do you give them much chance against Finland?
I think it would take an amazing net-minded performance. I think the Finns, on paper, they don't have as good a team as in previous years, but we've seen them so far this tournament in every game. They bring their sisu, their Finnish spirit to play and always have great games and play so well as a team. I think France are going to be in for a very difficult test, and I think really France's hopes of staying up simply hinge on the Great Britain game on the 20th.
Which is going to be huge. The other game in Group A on Sunday sees Germany taking on USA. Now, we mentioned what happened to the Germans today against Canada a little bit earlier on. Sascha Bandermann, who's been covering the Germans for Sport 1, was at the game and spoke to the players afterwards and brings us up to speed here on their post-game reaction.
they said maybe we were too relaxed and not quite ready to step up, because they knew they had to step up. I mean, they knew they won four games in a row, which is big. Didn't happen for over 80 years. But it's a different story if you play a team like France or even Slovakia, which was the closest game, and they really performed well. But it was always, you know, very tight games, all of them. I think they didn't really have the attitude to go in that game. That's what they said. They didn't want to, but it just happened. And then you're like one love down real quick in the game. And then you probably just let it go a little from mental point of view. What they said is, we shouldn't care too much about what happened. It probably looks hard now for a lot of people back in Germany that they lost 8-1. But they said, well, we got to keep up our attitude and we got to keep our heads up high, because we're already in the quarterfinals. We already qualified for the Olympics. So that's big goals for German hockey, you know. So and everything that comes up now is just, let's say, an add-on to the list.
Well, what's coming up next, of course, is the USA on Sunday. Do you expect the attitude to be better? Do you expect a better performance from the Germans?
Yes, definitely. Because we played the US hockey team in a friendly match before the Worlds. We lost that, but I think they know what the team is capable of. And they know how to play the team because they did it before, even though it was a friendly match. Canada, they didn't know what to expect, and they were probably a little bit overwhelmed. They probably know how to handle Kane and Co. more than the Canadian team. And it's going to be a fun match for sure for Dominic Cahoon, because he's going to play two of his teammates from the Chicago Blackhawks with Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. I think they're going to be ready, but they have to. They have to really work on their scoring efficiency, because there's always a difference at the Worlds when it comes to crunch time. You know, it's also hard because a lot of people in Germany, they expect a guy like Leon Draisaitl, you know, to just go to the Worlds and score. But it's also hard for him because the teams know how to make life for him tough on the ice. They know how to keep him away from the goal. They know how to shorten his space, let's say, on the ice. So, you know, it's always about also for his teammates to step up. And that should be maybe a key to success against the USA. Though it's going to be hard, but I think they have a slight chance to probably get a point at least.
Well, that's Germany already through to the quarterfinals, so the pressure's off, I guess.
Germany have the potential to give the USA a real good run for their money. They have the talent this year as well, with Draisaitl and Cahoon up front, who are both very good NHL centres, especially Leon Draisaitl. But I think one of the keys to the game, actually, for Germany to be able to compete is the availability of their star goalie Grubauer and also young defenseman Moritz Seider. Both of them missed the game today with injuries, and Finnish coach Toni Soderholm said specifically about Grubauer that he'll be very tight for Sunday. It's kind of touch and go if he's play, and the same goes for Moritz Seider. I think if those two players are in the game and Germany play well, they can potentially pull off an upset versus the USA.
Well, this is what Sasha was suggesting, that they almost know the American game better, whereas Canada generally caused problems for the Germans. There's something about USA's game that suits the Germans more. What would that be, do you think, Alex?
I think USA maybe play a slightly faster brand of hockey, whereas the Canadians play more sustained offensively in the zone in terms of these teams at these World Championships. Bigger and more physical on the boards as well, the Canadians. And I think maybe the Germans, with some of the shifty, smaller forwards, sometimes struggle to deal with that.
I was just going to say, I think Canada is just a tougher team in terms of hits and body and size, and America is more skilled, I think, this year. I also don't think the pressure is off Germany, because you want to fight for a seed. There are certain teams that you do not want to face in the quarterfinals. And then in addition, at this tournament, 3 and 4, they travel here to Bratislava. Whereas if you're cozy up in Košice, then you want to stay there.
How is Košice?
I loved it. I had such a great time. The arena was amazing. The people were amazing. I loved the food. So it's good to be here, but I also did not want to leave.
I understand. All right. Very much our sentiments with today's edition of the Totally Hockey Podcast. But we've pretty much come to the end of the show. Luckily, there'll be another one along at the end of Sunday's action with a very special guest from Russian hockey history and indeed world hockey history. But anyway, more about that tomorrow. Many thanks, Alex and Olga, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Remember, if you've enjoyed today's show, don't forget to rate and review us and share and subscribe too. And of course, have a look at the IIHF app if you haven't already got that downloaded, because it is the essential companion to all the events here at the Ice Hockey World Championship. We'll be back tomorrow then. Have a wonderful Sunday. Speak to you then.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with In Front.